Begin the current daf, Masechta Bavasra, daf Lamed Beis. Begin on the bottom of the Lamed Alf Lamed Beis, 8 lines up in the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had Machlekes, Rav Nachman, and Rava regarding a situation where there were two people claiming that this was their field. One person brought witnesses that said that he's been here for the past 3 years. Moreover, that they testified that he inherited from his father. The other one had witnesses also that he was there for the past 3 years, but not that element that he inherited from his father. So Rava said they contradict each other, so neither one can you give it to. Rav Nachman said no, and Rashbam said that's what Allah follows, that although that they void and contradict each other regarding the element of who is here the past 3 years regarding the Cheskas Kamashanim, but regarding the element, only one pair of witnesses has that he inherited from his father. So we give it to that one who has that element of his testimony that wasn't refuted. Now, on that later on, the person then, he ended up coming up with a pair of witnesses to also state his position that he inherited from his father. So that equaled out the playing field. So Rav Nachman says, Ana nachtinan, ana masalkinan. We demoted him, we took him away, we said, we're not going to give it to him, because this guy has more testimony in his favor than this guy, now that he evened out the playing field. So now we say, okay, it goes back to Kaldom and Gevar, whoever the strongest wins, we can't give it to one more than the other. So on that, the question was, seemingly, that's zilusa de bedina. That's degrading for the courts, where here they say that he's not in contention, and they say he is in contention. So, and moreover, that there was a question asked in him that seemed to indicate that we are concerned for zilusa de bedina. So Reb Nachman said, you're right, seemingly I'm incorrect. But then he actually ended up going on, and he followed through on what he said, and he was not concerned for zilusa de bedina. What's the reason? So the Gemara said, because he was talya ba'ashli ravavi, because he was relying on the great ropes, meaning the great Talmid Chacham that we're going to mention on this daf, to prove that Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all agree, as Rav Nachman had done, that lezilusa de bedinin lechashinan. If we think that the court ruling should be changed, we do it, and we're not concerned that people are going to think that the court system is a mockery, is a joke. There's not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Ksubas as we begin. The Gemara introduces the Mishnah, and tries explaining what the interpretation, and finally the conclusion of the interpretation will indicate, like Rav Nachman said, that everyone agrees to this concept of lezilusa de bedin lechashina. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Huda Omer, he says, ein malin lekuhuna. We do not elevate someone to a position of being a kohen, meaning to assume a person is a kohen, which has to be inherited from being a descendant of Aaron a kohen, to eat truma, or to do the avodah in the base of Mikdash, or to do nesiyas kapayim, birchas kohenim, al pi eid echad, based on the testimony of one person who testifies that he's a kohen, which Rabbi Elazar will qualify right now that what that qualification is, but that's Rabbi Huda saying that you cannot elevate someone to a position to establish that he is a kohen based on one individual's testimony. Now, on that, Rabbi Elazar qualifies and he says, Amosai, when did we say, and he's coming to explain Rabbi Huda's statement, that we do not elevate someone to a position of kuna based on one individual's testimony? That's b'makom shiyesh oirin. That's if there are people, there's murmurings, there are people that are contesting, witnesses who are invalidating him, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that when they're invalidating him, then one witness's testimony will not put him into that position of being considered a kohen. However, avo b'makom shein oirin, but when there is no witnesses who are saying that he's not a kosher kohen, rather there's just rumors going around, as the Gemara will later on explain this point, then malin lekuhuna al pi eidecha, then we could elevate someone to a position of kahuna status based on one individual's testimony, which that's strong enough to refute just the rumor that's going around that this person is not a valid kohen. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Reb Shimon ben Askan, he disagrees. He says, malin lekuhuna al pi eidecha, we elevate a kohen based on one witness's testimony. So the Gemara asks, where's the disagreement? Reb Shimon Gamliel, Heine Rebbe Lazar, they're the same opinion, because as Rashbam points out, most definitely, that when there are two witnesses that are being oir and saying he's not a kosher kohen, Reb Shimon Gamliel would never say that we believe one witness in contradiction to two witnesses' testimony. So it must be when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said that we will elevate him to a position of kuna based on one witness's testimony, must be talked about when there's no oirin, when there's no two witnesses contesting. So, but that's exactly what Rabbi Lazar said. He said that when there is no iron, then we will be ma'al l'kun al-pi eidechad. So says the Gemara, v'chi teme ir chad ikim ben iron. If you're going to say that the disagreement between them is when there is one witness who is contesting this person's validity to kahuna. In other words, when Rabbi Elazar said, Bizman Shiyesh Lav Ayrin, when he said that when the Rebbe say we will not elevate this person to kahuna based on one individual's testimony, that when there's Ayrin, the word Ayrin is someone that's contesting, is complaining. Now, what that means to say is, actually, even if there's just one witness who's saying he's not a kosher kohen, which is contradicting this one witness who's saying he is a kosher kohen, maybe that's the difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar. That is, Rabbi Elazar Savor Iru Chad. Rabbi Elazar held that even the contesting of one person is considered an Iru, and therefore one witness is not believed to go ahead and make him kosher. But, as we continue to talk about Lamed Bezim and Alf, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saw the Iru trait, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that, no, you need to have to be Ma'ar in the person, to contest his stability, his validity, you need to have two witnesses to contest. But if there's just one person contesting, then we would elevate him to be a kosher kohen based on one witness's testimony. And maybe that's the machlekes between them. And that's the Gemara, you can't say that. Because Rabbi Yechanan says, which Rashbam says, he doesn't know where is the statement of Rabbi Yechanan from, that Devei HaKol Ein Iru Poches Mishnayim. Everyone agrees, contesting something cannot be less than two witnesses. And therefore, that can't be that what their machlekes is regarding when one is ma'ar, where that's what Rabbi Elazar is saying, that, oh, when there's ma'arin, meaning even one person, then we'll not make him kosher based on one. You can't say that because the Rabbi Yechanan says, Ein Iru Poches Mishnayim. So Ella rather says the Gemara must be Eretre. What are they talking about when if it's there's two people contesting that everyone will agree then that you cannot elevate the person to kahuna based on one witness's testimony because one person is not believed in opposition to two. So then what are they disagreeing about? The Hachma Iskina, what we're talking about is as follows. An elaborate explanation. Kugain de mechaskina le bavu de hai de kainu. It was assumed and it was established up until this point. We knew who his father is. We knew he was a kohen. But then word or rumor came out. Not testimony, just rumor came out. There was a voice. We know that he's the son of this father. But this father had married a divorcee or a woman that had chalitza, which is possible for a kohen to marry. And this child then becomes a chalal, a non-viable kohen for the avoda and things like that. So because of that rumor, vachtine, they then demoted him from the kahuna, this son, until they can investigate further, which that is what's called a maila in kahuna. It's not halachically based, that demotion. It's just in kahuna we give an elevated status, we're more particular, and therefore we demote him until we investigate it further. Now, Rashbam does point out that this variable of this case description is actually unnecessary. Because even without this part about the rumor coming out, the Gemara's answer would have been the same, really. Because all you really need to have is one witness saying that he's a kosher kohen first. You need to have one at the end also saying that he's kosher. And you need to have two witnesses in between that Ma'ara saying that he's not kosher, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Now, the only reason why I did mention this point about that there was rumor first around that he was not kosher was because we needed to first say that there was one witness who came to say that he is a valid, completely kosher kohen, and therefore we established that he is a kosher kohen. Where why would one witness come to say that he's kosher if we know his father was a kosher kohen, unless if the word first came out that there was a rumor that he was not kosher? So that's part of the case where Nachtini, that they had demoted him. Say, okay, we've got to look into this. We don't know if you can do Birkas Kohanim. You might be a Ben Gerusha. Then there came one witness who said, no, I know that he's a kosher kohen. So vaskine. So then they had elevated him back to the status of a kohen because in the place of when there's just a rumor that he's not, one witness is believed to say that he is a kosher kohen. But then the story continues. Then there were two witnesses came along and said, oh, this guy's not good. The Ben Gerusha v'chalutzahu. He's the son of a divorcee who married a kohen, the son of a chalutza. Oh, so bachtini. So then they demoted him not to be able to do these things with kahuna because the one witness who said he's kosher is not believed in place of two witnesses who say that he's not kosher and say that he's a Ben Gerusha Mechalutza. Then the story continues. V'asa eid echad. After that, another one witness, a different one witness comes along, v'amar dekainu, and says that he is a full-fledged kosher kain. Now you have a sum total of two individual witnesses who are saying that he is a kosher kain. Now, moreover, continues the Gemara in explaining the machlekes in this Mishnah Masechet Ksubas. Udukule Alma, now everyone, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel, hold mitzdarf and ages. You could combine the testimony of witnesses, even if they said it not one in front of the other, regarding in general by other testimonies. So therefore, here also, based on the primary halacha, we should be combining the first witness who said he's kosher with the second witness who came at a much later time who also said that he's kosher, and now you have a full set of witnesses to make that he's kosher, unless, as we'll see, if we're concerned for Zilus of the Beit Din, as the Gemara is going to explain, because what, he is kosher, not, back and forth, this is a court, this is law. So, really, but everyone would hold that you should combine them. But v'halcha b'meichesh l'zilus of the Beit Din kamif again, what is the machlekes? Regarding, are we concerned for the degradation of the courts? How so? How is this the machlekes? Rabbi Elazar Sabbah, he held that based on the situation, kivin achtine, since we demoted him, because we had two witnesses who said that he was a ben gerusha ben chalutza, and that's based on law that we demoted him, because if he's a ben gerusha, he can't do berchas kainim and all these other things, where the Torah always believes the testimony of two witnesses. Now, therefore, loy maskinle. Now, we can't go ahead now back and bring him back to say that he's a kosher kohen anymore based on the testimony of the second witness, because although you're right that we should combine the second witness who says he's kosher with the first witness that is kosher and to say that it's kosher. Now, why is that going to be? Because what's going to happen is, based on the primary law, you should say that there's two witnesses saying that he's not kosher. Bring Grusha Mechlitza. Now we have two witnesses who say that he is kosher, one that came before, one that came at the end. Now, so how does that make that he's kosher? They negate each other. It's because now that they negate each other, you go back to the primary chazaka that this person had, which was that it was kosher. Because, A, first of all, there's a chazaka from his father that we knew his father was a kosher kain. Moreover, we actually even had designated in halacha, which is a chazaka that this son had, that the first witness that came originally before the Eirin said that he's kosher. So we in court said, based on the one witness, because all then at that point was a kohel, and he's believed connected to kohel, was that he was kosher. So he already had a chazaka. Now the two witnesses come and say he's not, but then another witness comes and says he's kosher, so you have two opposing two, so now you go back to the original chazaka, which was that he's kosher. The truth is that we should elevate him back to kohuna, but we don't. Why? Because chashin and lezilus of the Beit Din and Rabbi Elazar holds that we're concerned for the degradation of the courts, because first, we demote him based on the people that are contesting, saying that he's a ben gerusha mechalutza. And now we're going to go and overrule what we said before. We're going to take him back to be a kohen again. Now, therefore, this is what, if we want to interpret now the Mishnah based on the Gemara's understanding right now, this is what Rabbi Elazar was saying. That he says, Amosai, when did we say this? That what the Ein Mal Napeirecha, the Rebbe that said that we'll not elevate a person to kohen based on the one witness's testimony. But what does this mean? Not just in general one witness. Meaning with one witness who comes at the end, when there was already one witness in the beginning that is kosher. That said, Rabbi Elazar is Bezman Sheyesh Lav Oiririn, when there are two witnesses who said that this kind is possible. So therefore, this second witness now who comes at the end to say that he's kosher, we're not going to go ahead and combine him with the first witness who said that he's also kosher. Because although generally we will say that we will put the two, opposite the two, and the person, this son of the Kohen, will remain and retain his cheskes kasher and say that he's kosher, even so, we will not elevate him back to the kohuna because of the degradation of the court, that it's like flip-flopping. Now, the Rashbam points out one thing, that although that in the beginning they elevated him to the status of kahuna based on the one witness's, or the first one witness's testimony to refute the rumor that was going around, that's not considered degradation of the court. Because this that they originally had demoted him because of the rumor that was maybe he's a ben gerusha ben chalutza, that demotion was actually not a full-fledged demotion. That was with the intention to go and investigate and find out that, and that was the whole purpose, that when they find out that if he is kosher, to put him back in. So therefore, there's not a degradation. But here in this halacha, when there's two witnesses who say he's ben gerusha mechalutza, that when they demote him is based on law, and that's a court psak. So therefore, if they ultimately would later reinstate him, that would be degrading, and therefore says Rabbi Elazar that we don't put him back. Reb Shimon Gamliel Sava, but he holds, no, ananachtine vananaskinale. We demote him, and we'll bring him back. And we're not concerned for the degradation of the court, and therefore that's what Rabbi Shimon when he says that we will put him back based on this one witness who combined with the original one witness, and we're not concerned for the Zelusa de Beit Dina. Now, as Rashbam just clarifies again, and if you're going to say, so wait a second, it's still two trey betrey, it's two opposite two. So why do we put him back? It's still a suffix. That he says, like we mentioned before, but yeah, it's two opposite two, and they negate each other, but then the person retains the original chazaka, which was that they had originally put him back to be a kain based on one witness's testimony, which he was believed, because then there wasn't iron yet, and because a rumor is not considered iron, so therefore he retains the original chazaka, and we put him back to that, and we're not concerned if it's a lucid beit dina. Now, that doesn't end the Gemara's discussion. That's what we think is the interpretation of that Mishnah. But Maskev la Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi asked him this interpretation. And he said, Ihachi, if that's the case, that Rav Elazar is concerned for Zelusa de Beidina, and that's how you're interpreting his statement, where we're not going to elevate him based on the one witness's testimony who comes at the end who's saying he's kosher, to combine him with the first witness who said that he's kosher, because although in Halacha you should, but Zelusa de Beidina were Chashinan, then my area Chad. Then why does Rabbi Elazar say in his wording that we're not going to elevate him to Kuhuna based on one witness who we're explaining means that he comes at the end, that they were not going to elevate him because of Zilus de Beit Dina? So what do you mean? Why you say only based on one witness? That's what you're calling when you say Bizman Sheyesh Lavayr, when there's two witnesses who say he's not, then with one witness coming at the end, you're not going to make him kosher? What? Sounds like that based on two witnesses you would? But I feel a betray, but based on your interpretation, even if two witnesses would be coming at the end, Nami, even then, if they come secondary after the two witnesses already said he's not kosher, according to what you're saying, Rabbi Elazar, we would not elevate him to the status of kohen. So why is Rabbi Elazar using the word of echad? Another word, echad. Even two you would, who say he's kosher, you wouldn't elevate him back. Because you say that they do combine, it's just we can't do it because of Lucid Beit Dina. Elam Rav Ashi, and this is the Gemara's conclusion to what we had said in the previous daf. Rather, says Rav Ashi, the kulei alma leichashinu lizalus de beit dina. None of these tanoim, three tanoim that we mentioned, Yehuda, Rav Elazar, and Shimon Lil, none of them are concerned for the degradation of the courts. And this is what we had said from the previous daf, that Rav Nachman, although they had asked him and said, what do you mean, zalus de beit dina? And he still went and anyway put the halacha back, although that he originally said that we're going to demote that guy, we're going to bring it back. And the Gemara had said, because he relied on the Ashle Ravravi, on the great ropes, is based on all these tanoim, that they all agree we're not concerned with the Zelus of the Beit Dina. Because, as obvious from Rav's statement, if two witnesses did come, we would reinstate them to the Kuna. So what is their machloikis? V'hocha b'letzaref, eidus kum meflegi, and their machloikis is regarding do we combine witnesses who come at different points in time, where according to Rav Elazar, we will not combine the last witness with the first witness. Because since they didn't make their testimony at the same time, which as we'll shortly see is like the opinion of the Rabban who disagree with Reb Nosson. But yes, if two witnesses would come together, then we would elevate him back to his status of kahuna, and because we would retain the original chazaka, which was that, A, first of all, that his father was already muchzik, and he himself was already muchzik, and we're not concerned with his lusa de Beit Dina, whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel held like Reb Nosson, as we're going to quote right now, who says that you could combine witnesses' testimony, even if they're not being said at the same time. And like the following machlokes tanoim of Reb Nosson and Rabbanan. The Tanakh learned the Braisa, which Rashbam just points out that the ratio of this Braisa, which the machlokes Reb Shuben Karch and Rabbanan, is not necessary and integral for our Gemara's discussion. It's just that since it's a complete Braisa, which is brought at the end of Perek Zebayr, so it brings the halacha, the ratio, because of what it wanted for the Sefer of the Braisa, which are similar types of ideas. So the Reish of the Braisa says, "La'ilam ein endusin mitzdarefes." A testimony of witnesses will not combine, ad sheyirushnein ke'echad, until they both see what they're testifying regarding together that testimonial. Which that excludes if, let's say, one person says that in front of me this guy had borrowed the money. Now the other witness says, in front of me he admitted that he borrowed the money from him. So although they're both testifying regarding the same thing, but they're not. It's not the same. They didn't see the same thing. He saw the actual loan, he saw the admission. So says the Tanakhama that's not going to be a valid testimony. Whereas Reb Shimon Karchaimer, he disagrees. He says, no, I feel a bezacharze. Says, even if one was at a later point than the other one, let's say one of them says that on Sunday, this guy borrowed from this guy $100, and the other one says, on Monday, I saw that he borrowed from him $100. That since both of them are testifying that he borrowed from him $100, they combine. Whereas the Tanakhama holds it, no, it's not true. The $100 that this guy's testifying is not the $100 that this guy's testifying. And therefore, regarding the $100, it's still a half a testimony because each one's not saying what regarding what the other one. And the Rashbam says that the reasoning of these both opinions is brought in Masechet Sanhedrin, both from Psukim and from logic. But the primary machlokes that we want, which is the same machlokes we're saying is the machlokes of Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon Gamliel, is the second half of the Braisa. Ein edusin miskayemes. A testimony of witnesses will not be valid to be accepted, bebezdin, in the court, even if they both saw the same thing together at the same time. Until they say their testimony together at the same time in front of the court. Now again, as we said, this is a different machlekes. It's not Rabbi Shimon Karchu who's saying this. And rather, this is a new machlekes, and Rabbi Laza and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are disagreeing in this machlekes, Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbanan. Where the Rabbanan say that you can go ahead and you have to go ahead and say the testimony at the same time, which was like Rabbi Laza said. And Rabbi Nosson, I mean, he says that no, Shemin Devar Shal Zehayim, you can listen to one person's testimony today. When his friend comes the next day, you can listen to his half of the testimony. And the Gemara there also explains their opinions, both from Sukkim and from logic. But again, that's the understanding of the Machlokes. But what comes out is that everyone really holds that we're not concerned with Zelusah de Beidina, which was like the Rav Nachman had done, that he said, Anan achsinan, anan maskinan, that although I had said originally that this guy loses because he didn't have testimony for that Tesei voice like the other one had, but once he did bring them, we put him back, and we're not concerned for Zelusah de Beidina, as we see from all these Tanoim of this Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with another incident following the theme of the previous Dafim, a related type of discussion. Ahud Amal Lechavre, someone said to his friend, my boy is Bahayara. What are you doing in this piece of land? Amalei said to him, Minach Sevinti, what do you mean? I boarded from you. Vashtar, and here's the document showing that I boarded from you. So the Gemara continues, Amad Bey, so Amalei, so the guy said, wait a second, Shtar is Hayafahu. This is a forged document. And moreover, you haven't been here for 3 years to prove that you had boarded from me by just having lived here for 3 years. So please leave. So the Gemara tells that Gachin, the one who was producing the document, who claimed that he boarded from this guy, and that's why he's on the land, he bent down, lochesh leila rabbi. So he whispered softly to Rabba, that the one who was contesting his right to this field, who claims that he's the owner, shouldn't hear. And he said to Rabba, he says, in, yes. Shtar zayafahu, he's really right. It is a forged document. Now there's three different interpretations, Rashbam, what that means. He brings from the Rach, Ben Chananel, that it doesn't literally mean to say that it was a forged document, but rather it was like a forged document in the sense that it wasn't written for this sale itself. And what would that be? That would be what's called a shtar mana, which is a document based on trust, which is someone gives over and says, if you need it, you could use it, but it's not for anything per se right now, which that's not valid. But it is an actually kosher document. There was real witnesses who signed on it. Now, so he whispered to Rabbi, and he says, it's true. This is not a document for this sale. I did have a real document that this guy sold to me, but it got lost. Now, Vamina, and I said, let me at least hold some document, which will show like as if I do have the rights to this field, because I really had a true document, I just lost it, so though this is forged in this context, but I figured, let me show this so that I could prove my point and get the field that I really had bought anyway. Now, what he was saying essentially was, however, and this is the Gemara's point, if this defendant would not have admitted what his claim of the claimant, that it's a forged document, then the Ma'arer would have no rights, because ultimately the witnesses recognize their signature and they would validate the document and he would get the field. It's just that this guy's admitting to Rob, he's saying, it's true, it really is true. I know I could win with the document, but it really is a forged document, or Shtar Mana, the way Rach says it. It's just that I figured I'll use it because I really had a document, I just lost that one. So Amar Rabba, Rabba said, look, Maloy Lashakar, for what purpose should this defendant lie and to say that I had a good document and I lost it? Meaning, not to admit that this is a forged document. If he wanted, he could have said, Shtar Malyu, he could have said that this is a full-fledged kosher document. Because if he would want to validate it, the witnesses recognize this as their, because they actually did sign, it is a Shtar Mana, it was a real document, they would have validated it and he would have won that way. So says Rabba, although he's admitting and saying that it's really not a kosher document, but he could have said, and therefore Malin Lashakar, such a Kayakataina of Migui, gives him the rights to this field. Another interpretation Rashbam brings is that you could say that actually Zayafa means that it was actually a forged document. where he forged the signatures of the witnesses so well that the witnesses themselves made an error and they think that it's actually their signature and therefore they would validate the document, and therefore he could have validated the document and said that it's a kosher document, and therefore it says, Rabbi, we believe him. Or Rashbam says, which he doesn't like this interpretation, likes this first one of these two better, says that actually he could have validated the document with the false witnesses that he had used to sign the document itself. So either way, he could have found a way to get the field based on lying his way through and saying that this is a kosher document. So although he admits the truth, but since he could have, so that's a malishaka, and therefore we believe him. That he really had a document and that he had bought it and he just lost it. On that, Amalei Rabbi Yosef is Rabbi Yosef, and this is because Rabba had been the Rosh Hashiva before Rabbi Yosef, as the Gemara says at the end of Masechet Brachos, Daf Samachta Aleph, Amar Aleph, and Rabbi Yosef, who was his colleague, would ask on him. So Rabbi Yosef asked, and he says, wait a second. Amai samchera haishtarim, why are you relying on this document? Because as we said, that this guy doesn't have any chazaka, even it wasn't here 3 years. Haishtar chas b'bamahu. This document is like a shard. It's like a broken vessel. It's like an empty piece of paper. Because since he's admitting that it's not kosher, so he's admitting. Now, the point is like this, is that you cannot compare this to other Mali Lashakers that the Gemara mentions. Generally, what Mali Lashakar, how that works is that this guy had two claims he could have put in court that both could be true. There's the one that he claims, and there's the one that he could have claimed, but he didn't claim. Where then we say a migui, that's what's called since. Since I could have said this, and I would have won in court. So although I'm not saying that, I'm saying this, but believe me, with the power that I could have used that, and I could be believed based on that point too. But here says Rav Yosef, here the Malul Lashakar is what would be called like B'makam Edom, which are contradicted by witnesses. Why? Because all his power and his strength in this land is only through this document. He wasn't here for 3 years, doesn't have a chazaka. Now, how could you therefore say Malul Lashakar through this document? And that is, if he wanted, he could have said that it's a kosher document. But he's admitting that the document is puzzle. Now, that admission, which he's admitting, he does bal din kimei edim dami. The admission of a litigant is like 100 witnesses' testimony. Now, if two witnesses would come and say that it's puzzle, then we establish already he wouldn't be able to say ma'al l'shaka, because as Abai had said previously, you don't say ma'al l'shaka, but makam edim. So says Rav Yosef, so it's like a ma'al l'shaka, makam edim, and therefore you can't rely on this document to say ma'al l'shaka, and therefore he's not believed to have this field, and he's got to give it back to the Ma'ar. Similarly, as the same type of machlokes with the same reasons, the Gemara says, Hahuda amar lechaveri, someone said to his friend, Havli meya zuzi de masik nemach, give me the 100 zuz that I'm collecting from you, that you owe me. And v'hashtar, here's the document to show that you owe it to me. Amalei, so the defendant said, Shtar ziyafu, this document you want to collect from this document, this is a forgery. So Gachan Lochesh le Rabbi, so the claimant bent down, he whispered to Rabbi, he says, in yes. Shtar Zayafu, it is a forged document. Miu Shtar Ma'al, you have a leave irkas. I had a kosher document to show that this guy owed me the money, but I lost it. Vamina, and I said, Inkar Habiyadai called it, let me at least have something to use in court just to like get what's really owed to me, but he really owes me the money. But yes, this document is a forgery. So Rabbi says, Malul Lashakar, why should this guy have lied? Meaning we should believe him what he's saying, that he had a document, he lost it. Because Ibayi Omalish Darmali, if he wanted, he could say that it was a kosher document. And the witnesses would think it's such a good forgery, or Shtaraman, like the Rach said, and he would win anyway. So believe him that he's saying the truth, because he could have gone and won in another way. On that, Amalei Rabbi Yosef says, "My kasamchas, what exactly are you relying on? A haishtara on this document? Haishtara chaspamo, it's a shard, as we said before, it's like a malishak, a mokam edim. We don't believe the person in that type of situation." Now, Amar Avida Bar Avin, he says, regarding these two machloikasin of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, he says, it depends for what? Hechasa kavaseid de Rabbi ba'ara. The halacha follows regarding the first case that they disputed, regarding a piece of land. There the halacha is like Rabbi, that he will be believed. He will win in court, this guy who is producing the forged document. And the Yosef, by the case of the money, that the guy who has the forged document will not win. Why is that the reason? So the reason is actually because Rav Idebar Oven was in doubt which one of their reasonings seems more reasonable. Meaning, do you say like Rabbah that you say Ma'al L'shaker, or do you say like Rav Yosef that no, it's considered like a Ma'al L'shaker Makam Eden? So because it's a suffix, so therefore regarding the first situation, he said, Hilchasaka Rabbah Ba'arad Alochavazak Rabbah, regarding land, that we say Ma'al L'shaker, and that we maintain that this guy who is on this field already, and now someone's being ma'ar, that we maintain him on his purchase. Now, the reason for that is because since we cannot clarify which one's right, Rabbah or Rabbi Yosef, so then we say the halachic, the classic halachic statement of ha'moitzi mechaber alav araya, that someone wants to take it away, the onus of proof is on him to show that the halacha is like him, but we don't know. Halacha might be like, Rabbah might be like Rabbi Yosef. And therefore, since we can't prove otherwise, where the land is, that's where it remains. Where, since right now it's in this guy's possession, this guy claiming that this guy owes it to him, you got to prove it. And you can't prove it because maybe the halacha is that Ma'al Shakir is Neman. But the case of money, where there actually the borrower is the muchzik, meaning he's holding on to the money right now, not the one who has a document showing that this guy owes him the money. So therefore we tell the one who is in possession of the document, you have to bring a proof that the halacha is like Rabbah, that Ma'al Shakir, and then you could go ahead and take it. But up until then, we say the halacha is like Rav Yosef out of that because we're going with the muchzik. And that is, wherever the land is, that's where it remains. And you can't take it off from Safik. So too by the case of the money, the Hecha de Kai Mezuzi, look me, wherever the money is right now, that's where it remains because you retain its chazaka because this halacha is a halacha of Safik. We don't know if halacha is like Rabbah or Rav Yosef, and therefore it retains its chazaka. And says Rashbam, that's the halacha. Now he says, although the Gemara says later on the Kofidam Amen Beis, the halacha is like Rav Yosef by the case of Sada, Inin, and Mechza. And the inference from that Gemara is that the halacha everywhere else is like Rabbah and not like Rav Yosef. And here we're saying in one of these halachas, halachas like Rav Yosef. This is Rashbam, that's not difficult because in this machlik is that we also pass like Rabbah. In other words, what the Gemara was saying over there, that they're exclusively like Rav Yosef. Here it's not exclusively like Rav Yosef. It's like Rav Yosef in one case and like Rabbah in another case. Now the Gemara continues with the following incident that will reflect back to the halacha we just mentioned before. Ahu arva de'amalei l'loivah, there was a certain guarantor that said to the borrower, Havli me'a zuzi, give me the 100 zuz, de parati l'malva ilavach, that I had paid to the lender because of you. Where Rashbam says either that would be in what's called the Arav Kablan, which is a certain type of guarantor that the lender could automatically go straight to the guarantor and not to the borrower first. Or it would be Tolma, where he explicitly, the lender said at the time of the loan, he says, whoever I want to collect from, I can collect from, whether from the borrower, I can go straight to the guarantor. So in this situation, he went straight to the guarantor and they collected the loan. And now the guarantor says, I paid up the lender. And now, Vahashtara. See, this is the document that the lender had outstanding against you. And then he gave it to me because since I paid up the debt, now the debt then gets transferred to me. Now you owe me that debt, just like you owed it to him. So go ahead and now pay me the loan that you had owed to him, which now you owe to me. So Amalei, so the borrower said to the guarantor, what do you mean? La praticha? Didn't I already pay you? I already paid you for that you paid for me to that lender. So Amar, so the guarantor said, yes, but lav hadris shakla sinuminoi? But didn't you go ahead and then take money back from me again? So it's like as if you never paid me back. Now the borrower is not admitting to that part of the story. He said, no, we both agreed to the context that I had paid you back and you're agreeing. You're just saying I had then borrowed back from you again that same amount. And that said the borrower, that's not the case. That's not true. I never borrowed back from you again. I don't owe you anything. So Shalcha Rav Idi Bar Oven Lekameda Bai, and this is significant, the Rav Idi Bar Oven is from the previous Gemara, who he had said the halacha is like Rav Yosef Bezuzi and Rabbi Ba'ara, he sent in front of Abai and says, Ki hai gav namai? Regarding this type of situation, what would the halacha be? Now, the reason for his question is because it's not really exactly like the previous Gemara's discussion regarding the document of the loan that Rav Idi Bar Oven had said the halacha is like Rav Yosef. Why? Why is it different? Because over there, the one who had the document admitted that actually he originally had a different document that was a real document on the loan, and he lost that one. So he took this document to use it to merit in court, but he admitted that, but this document was really a forged document, where the loan was not written on this document itself. So there, that's why we said that he's going to lose, because we say that, okay, wherever the Zuzi are, since we don't know if the Halacha is a Grabber or a Yosef, we say wherever the money is, that's where it remains, which is by the borrower. But here was the question of Rabbi Debar Oven. Here, the guarantor never had a different document. He always had only this document. And therefore, although that everyone agrees that it was once paid up, but since he's claiming that, but then the borrower then took money back from him again, so essentially it's like he had never paid him up and that he still owes him that money. And therefore, this is a valid document, which it always was the same document. Or do you say that no, since even he himself admits that the original debt of this loan was paid up by the borrower to the guarantor, and more of the halacha is that a document that had been used in a loan and was paid up, you're not halachically allowed to use it for another loan because that original shibud, what's indebted from that document, is already forgiven. So essentially, this document is like a shard because even though it is the same document and it's not a different one, but essentially once it was paid up, it has no validity. And therefore, although he borrowed the same money again from him again, that you can't use this document anymore. So therefore, it is like chas bav alma, and therefore then it would remain by the chazaka of the borrower and the ov would not be allowed to collect from him. That was Rav Yehuda Rabin's question. On that shaluch Abaye. Abaye held it was pretty obvious. He says, "Mighty Baile." What's Rav Yehuda Rabin's question? Ha'ihu de'amar hilchasaka vasei de'rabba ba'ara. He himself, as we quoted before, had said that the halacha falls a grabba by a case of land. The chasaka vasei de'rabbi Yisrael bezuzi, and the halacha falls a grabba by a case of money. Where the heichaduk mezuzi, look me where the money is. That's where it remains because it's a case of safik. And therefore, Abaye said it's obvious it is the same thing as, although it's not a different document, essentially it is like one because once it's paid up, it's not valid anymore. So though he claims that he borrowed, it will not go back on the same document and say that this is a kosher document. It's like he's admitting it's a chas bav alma. And if it's in a chas bav alma, then you still have Rabbi Yis's claim where you can't say a mali l'shakar b'makam edim, which is like a makam edim because it's a hidos badin kamei edim dummy. And therefore, since we have a suffix, if the halacha is a grabba of Yisrael, it retains its chazaka, which is by the borrower. And therefore, it's the same as the previous case and he doesn't have to pay him the money that the Arv claims that he had borrowed from him again subsequently. No, but the Gemara qualifies. V'hani mili, and when did we say this? That wherever the money is, that's where it remains. And we do not require the borrower to pay back to the guarantor. That's only where the guarantor had made a claim like we said before. Where the amarle, where the guarantor had said that you're right, you paid me up. But hadras isvesinu minoi. But then you went and you borrowed from me again. Where there, the guarantor himself admits that the original document was already nimchal shibudai, the original lien that it had was forgiven because it was only for that loan. And although even in that same day that he could borrow from him again, it's not going to go back in the document and it's like a chas bav alma. So that's weird, says the Gemara. Abaye was saying it's the same as what Rav Yehuda bar Avin had said previously where he's not going to be able to collect with it. Aval amalei, but if the guarantor makes a different claim, he says, hadrasinu nahalach, I gave you back those monies themselves. In other words, it's not that he's coming from another claim. He's saying, yes, he's admitting that you had paid me. But when I then subsequently gave you money, it wasn't a new loan. It was that I gave you back those monies that you paid me, and therefore you still owe me money. Because the monies that you paid me with, the image on the coin, which is what makes it into currency, was rubbed out, and therefore I couldn't use it as currency. Or vesumki, that the copper had gotten too red, and therefore it wasn't usable as currency. So in such a claim, it comes out that he's not claiming that, yes, you paid me up, but then I lent you again, which would make it like the previous Gemara. Rather, he's saying you never really paid me, because I gave you back what you paid me, because it wasn't viable. Oh, then says the Gemara, Kati isi l'shibudi d'shtar. Then you still have the original lien of the document because it's as if he's claiming that you never paid me, which is really what he's claiming. He said, although you paid me, but you didn't because I gave it back to you because it wasn't viable currency. That type of claim, says the Gemara, then the halacha would be actually that then he would be believed because it's not a chas bav alma, it is the original document. And since he has the document, he is believed to say that he could collect with it. It's nothing wrong with the document itself. It's not the same as previously when it's not a kosher document where he's himself is admitting it's not kosher. Then we don't believe him whatever claims he wants to say that mal l'shakar, that's not believed. And we don't say that the money retains where it is. And then actually the arv would be allowed to collect from the loiva with this document.